this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
I want to welcome the department. The agenda for today is this one, like for the cost of bill. And I think we're going to have South Africa Human Rights Commission and a member on the committee. That's the whole business of ourselves. But what we do with yourself is number one. I'm told there are apologies. I'll never look at them. Oh, this is Sarah. She won't see my new watch. She won't see my wife. My watch, she won't see. Me and her always connect watches. I thought I was going to fall and disappointed. Anyway, yeah, so we've got the apologies. Then we go to number three. Over to you, department, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Lawrence Bassett from the Legislation Department. In the department, if I can just introduce my colleagues. On my left, I have Advocate Abi Skosana. I think everybody knows him from the Policy Unit, and he's going to do a briefing for us today. And on my right is Ms. Vilma Lowe. She's also in legislation. She was assisting in the drafting of the bill before us, and behind her is Mr. Jan de Lange. I think everybody knows. He's also from the Legislation Department, and we've asked him to be here because he was involved in the promotion, the deliberations of the Jurisdiction of Regional Courts Amendment Bill in 2008. And then we have somebody from the Law Advisors. She's standing in for one of her colleagues, and I'm going to ask her to introduce herself. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. My name is Mele Lengema. I'm from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, assisting my colleague, Nom Bomi.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not too sure. Perhaps I'm going to ask Mr. Skosana to do a briefing on the overview of the Magistrates' Courts Amendment Bill. Document was distributed, and I think he's going to talk to that document. And then there's a further document that was distributed. It's more of a narrative, setting out the bill more in a technical, talking to the bill from a technical point of view, and we'll be advised by your good selves whether you want us to go through that document because you have already received it and have probably read it, that we'll be guided by what you would like. If I may hand over to JB, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is probably one of the shortest amendments that would want this Honourable House to consider. We'll basically give an overview of what the bill seeks to achieve in the interim. There are two main aspects that are covered from the bill. One, it seeks to harmonise the appointment requirements for judicial officers for the entire court system, etc. As the law currently stands, there's only for one to be appointed in the regional court, you need LLB, and that's the only court in this land which prescribes qualifications. And this is a requirement that is in the Massive Court Act, which predates the Constitution. Section 174 of the Constitution requires that a person must be fit and proper for that person to be appointed as a judicial officer. And the Massive Court Act says you must have LLB or a degree certified by the minister to be equivalent to LLB for that to be appointed. As I'll show briefly, that kind of requirement provides gives a limitation to the judicial process system. The Judicial Service Commission and the Commission ascertain the criteria for fit and proper of every person and advises the president or the minister in respect of the judges on matters to be appointed, etc. The criteria and extensive guidelines have been developed by both the JSC and the Massive Commission, and they go beyond the actual qualifications. The JSC and the Massive Commission looks at the qualifications of the person. They look at all other aspects related to that. They look at the competence. They look at the diligence of the person, they look at issue of social standing in the community, they look at issue of experience and all those aspects, they look at issue of transformation, whatever, and all those collectively constitute the criteria of fit and proper in respect of the particular case. And therefore, of the view, therefore, that putting one requirement in the act is not sufficient for that purpose. The other reality is that the LLP even have got implication within the profession itself. It's got unintended consequences in the sense that most of the attorneys possess what was then called a BPROC, which was a postgraduate from a bachelor degree, which was a 4-year bachelor degree compared to the LLB and the BUS. There have been a lot of changes around the academic environment itself, which our legislation have not taken care of, and therefore this first also seeking to make sure that reality is taken into consideration. With the current framework, it is possible for one to be appointed straight to a constitutional court or even to the high court, while the very same person may not be appointed to the original court because of LLB limitation. And obviously, in terms of academic environment, you can do LLM with your junior degree without LLB. So the way the LLB is written is that even if you have done LLM, which may be a research course or a coursework, etc., you'll still be excluded to accept the original course because of the LLB. And the LLB we refer to here is the LLB that predates the current LLB, 4-year degree LLB. It was a postgraduate LLB of 21 or 22 papers of what then, which had specific kind of area of specialty, etc. And with the whole transformation or restructuring of the curriculum of the university, that LLB is vastly different from the LLB currently given today. And we also know that qualifications alone are not the basis for a good judge or a good magistrate. They have to be judicial experience acquired over a long, long, long period of time, etc. And to exclude people with experience acquired over a such long period of time because they lack one a level of qualification, it's not desirable for the system. The LLB currently today, as we speak, is no longer a postgraduate degree. It's an entry-level degree. That's the first degree that people get from there, they can proceed whatever, etc. And when the JSC and the Master's Commission interview people with various degrees and beyond the LLB applies, etc., and when they apply the criteria of fit and proper person, they will basically choose the best person from the pool of the people who applied and from the needs of the office of the particular court in terms of its requirement. We also wanted to bring to this house that there are also other consequences which will require some amendments. In terms of the advocate's admission act, people are admitted as advocates purely by meeting the requirements of LLB. Once you have LLB, you can go to your high court and seek admission, and the court can admit you on that basis without going through a formal training program, without going through the backgrounds of some sort, whatever. Now, that aspect needs to be looked into, because what it means basically, it means all people who pass LLP today, right at the entry level, the LLP of today, can simply wake up the following day and go to the high court and ask for admission, and they can get admitted, and the third day they can attend court. And as I said, the current LLP is different from the one which was in place when this requirement was intended. So it needs that aspect also needs to be kind of harmonized with this process. On the 9th of August this year, the original court civil jurisdiction legislation came into operation, giving creating more courts dealing with civil disputes, and also as a process of enhancing the streamlining of the courts and the pursuit of the unified and civil judiciary. The reality is that in view of the fact that the regional courts were not part did not deal with civil matters, it was even difficult for judges to appoint a regional magistrate to act as a high court. wherever there are capacity problems, they have to go down to the district court to appoint entry level magistrate to go to the high court and overlook the regional level, despite the fact that the regional court level have got the highest seniority in terms of the court, and they can even give life sentences. But the regional magistrate cannot easily excel the high court because of this limitation. Now we seek to streamline the process, and this regional court, as explained, which has to operate, will require people with capacity and expertise in civil matters, and we can only draw those people from the attorneys. We cannot, unfortunately, there's nowhere else we can draw them. The current pool of 363 regional magistrates have been drawn mainly from the criminal environment. In the past, they were taken largely from the prosecution and whatever. Their focus, and even after they've been drawn from that angle, they focus on criminal matters, etc. So what we intend to do then is that we create an additional capacity, the regional court, so we can get additional people with civil expertise. And we can only draw these people from the attorneys, because the attorneys, not only are they sufficient in terms of the pool, but also there are people who deal in greater detail with all matters that before they go to court. The advocates act from a referral perspective. They get matters from the attorneys. The attorneys will have studied the matter, they have issued the processes, they have sent the sheriffs, they have done everything. And by the time the matter is then ready to turn to the particular representative, they be referred, given over to your advocate. It's rare that the advocates will start the matter from scratch of any civil matter, etc. And therefore we hope that it's important that this amendment be considered, so that we can draw from that pool of 13,000 plus attorneys who can come and provide capacity at the court, compared to the just level 4,000 advocates who provide services who are on the role of advocates. We've got a role of 8,000 plus advocates currently that we maintain. But half of those advocates are like myself and the chairperson, they're in parliament and in the state, they're not at the court. The few who are at the court are just 4,000 less than, and they cannot be able to provide the capital that we require in terms of it. So that's basically the thrust of the amendment of the LLB requirement, just to harmonize the system and to be able to draw those kind of expertise into our judicial system, as we know that the legal profession remain the main feeder to the judiciary. The second angle of the appointment that we sought to focus on is before we go to the last point of the amendment, for purpose of the regional court civil jurisdiction implementation approach, the minister created 25 new master posts for these 62 regional courts. And how the system operates, the 25 regional magistrates will basically rotate or commute amongst those number of courts in each province, so that at a given time, there's somebody available to deal with civil matters in those 62 courts. And in view of the fact that we don't have insufficient pool for those 25 new posts of regional magistrates, arrangements have been made that they be appointed on acting capacity for a period of 12 months. Obviously, given this process, this bill, the opportunity for Parliament to consider this bill, so that if this bill is amended as proposed, then the post can be advertised permanently, and then we can have the opportunity of drawing from the pool of the attorneys if they want to apply, etc., or from other district magistrates who've got extensive civil experience in civil law, but who may not be able to access the regional courts because of the LLB limitation. So we hope that should this be a possibility, we can then advertise those posts and move forward with the permanent filling of those posts. If what happens, those 3 or 5 will then be kind of filled on acting capacity. The next point of amendment sought to be obtained from this House is that the current act, jurisdiction of the Regional Courts Amendment Act, still requires two kinds of expertise or jurisdiction. It says It provides for civil jurisdiction and family law jurisdiction, and is basically crafted in a manner that resembles the previous dispensation, where we had a specially divorce court, which were established decades ago to deal with African divorce matters at the time. So, as a high court, there's no distinction. A divorce matter is a civil matter. You don't have to say civil jurisdiction, divorce jurisdiction, whatever. All these are civil matters because there are matters that don't include the state. And that's a simple distinction. There are matters where it's between private citizens and etc. So we sought to harmonize the arrangement legislation so that instead of providing for, in the Act, for civil jurisdiction and family law jurisdiction, we can basically provide civil jurisdiction or family law jurisdiction because it includes both of them. And that will ensure that even when the Commission recruits magistrates, they will look at the candidates holistically. They want to look at candidates who will be excluded merely by the fact that that candidate never dealt with divorce matters, but only dealt with complicated civil matters. That's basically the thrust of the amendments that we seek to put to this House. And I'll ask my colleagues to amplify where there's a need to do so before we get a guidance and indulgence from the House. Thank you.
Chair, I'd like to be guided by the House. As I said, there is a narrative that has been distributed. Basically, it says what my colleague has just said in another, using other words. The only aspect of the bill that we haven't really dealt with, I think, is Clause 4, which is the amendment of Section 15 of the Magistrates Courts Act. So we could either take you through the full briefing as we've distributed, or I could ask my colleague just to limit herself to the amendment that is proposed in Clause 4.
All the pleasure of the House. We want to ask questions, sir. Clause 4. Okay, let's go for it. Thank you.
Ask Ms. Lowe to deal with Clause 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Currently, Section 15 of the Magistrates Court Act provides in subsection 2, wherever a public body has the right to prosecute privately or to have a fine paid over, the process of the court is served by a person authorized in writing. Now, this amendment to Section 15, which is proposed, is the consequence of irregularities that was brought to the department's attention, which is currently taking place in this process of serving of process. For example, the people aren't really honest, and they don't treat the court documents with a right procedure and things like that. So it is proposed to give the Minister of Justice the authority to determine the conditions of authorization of a person and thereby prescribing conditions before a person can be authorized to serve notice in terms of this section.
So that in brief is what Clause 4 is about. May I just add one thing that is also in the document. Clause 5 deals with the commencement, or the short title of the bill in the commencement, and I wonder whether, raise the question whether the committee would consider an amendment there where we change the commencement date. I think all these provisions can come into operation once it's assented to by the President and promulgated in the Gazette, and there need not be a commencement clause as such, and that will just facilitate the implementation of this legislation if it's approved by Parliament. So with a simple amendment we could possibly achieve that. Thank you.
I just wanted to know as far as, I mean, if you look at the memorandum attached to the bill, you did get some comments. I mean, you sent comments to that list under 5.1,
and then you've got comments under 5.3 from those bodies. What kind of issues were raised? Were there any issues raised from the bodies under 5.1 of the memorandum, and what kind of comments were received from under the 5.3?
Yes, I just wanted to ask the following. You've invoked section 174 of the Constitution in order to get the highest blessing for the idea of a person simply appropriately qualified to be elevated. But firstly, that section, of course, deals with constitutional court judges almost exclusively and more than anything else. And as we know, those are drawn not necessarily from legally qualified people. So that's the first concern. Secondly, as you know, we have the doubtful pleasure of dealing with recommendations for the suspension of magistrates pending disciplinaries. And both the number and the nature of these that we've seen are frankly quite alarming. Therefore, I think that one should just assuage any potential perception or concern that people who don't really have the necessary legal qualifications are going to be appointed. Now, I listened carefully to Mr. Skosana. It was very interesting, and you need to draw from the ranks of the attorneys. I understand that. But could you just address that point? We really don't want to create an impression that people will be elevated to the magistracy who simply don't have legal qualifications, please.
Thank you, Honorable Sir. My question is based on this briefing document. 2.3.3, where you say the proposed new section 15, subsection 2, capital A, will allow persons and institutions working in this field to make presentation to the minister. What I want to find out, what presentations are you referring here? What type of presentations are you envisaging here?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question. I've seen that there were some adverts carried in the national newspapers, for example, yesterday, about this regional court's amendment and the like. My question is, to what extent does the department also convey messages through the sound of the media, through the radio? To what extent does it happen? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I could respond to the question regarding the comments which was received. The National Prosecuting Authority supports the bill. However, they requested that safeguards be built into the provisions regarding the admission of or the qualifications of magistrates to bring it more or less in accordance with those processes prescribed in the Constitution. Our response to this request of theirs was that there is a project that the Magistrates Courts Amendment, Magistrates Courts Act and the Magistrates Act should be overhauled in due course, and then the processes and the administrative process per se would be addressed. At this stage, it is only intended to scrap the qualification requirement and not as such change the processes. It is left to the Magistrates Commission to consider whether a person is fit for this position. Then one person objected against the abolishment of LRB, and one member of public was in favour of that. The Commission on Gender Equality welcomes the provisions. They are only concerned about the high vacancy rate of magistrates in the Equality Court, and the Law Society of South Africa supports it. The Cape Bar Council supports the bill, but in respect of Clause 3, it is just concerned that many areas may not be serviced with a regional court civil divisions, which may hamper access to justice. Those are the comments.
Yeah, it's correct that when it's not for the first time that this requirement, this amendment was brought to the department, and when it was brought initially, it was at the time when we still have the right LLP, when we still have the original LLP as a postgraduate, not entry level. And at that time, we supported that it may be perceived to lower standards if we proceed with the amendment. But today, keeping us there, it has become obsolete, because that LLP degree means nothing now than it was then. Now, we've got an option. If we want to put a higher qualification for regional courts, we must put another degree, not LLP, because an entry level, or we say nothing. Now, our view is that it will be safe to not provide the qualifications in the Act, but to leave it to the JSC and the Master Commission to develop guidelines that may include an appropriate qualification, which may differ from case to case. When the JSC appoints for the labor court, they look at the qualifications but also experience around that particular field to augment that. When the Magistrate Commission looks at the appointment of a regional magistrate for purpose of a commercial crimes court, they may look at an entry level, and any person who has done advanced courses on specific area of commercial law, specific crimes, may get advantage. In that way, you leave it, you are not abolishing the requirement. You are not stating them in the Act. You provide a mechanism for the JSC and the Master Commission to scrutinize the candidates and give the recommendation. That's why we are saying it must not be perceived that by removing this amendment, we are opening the floodgate for everyone to be a magistrate. Those people still have to go through the Master Commission, still be evaluated, and their doctorates especially will still be accessed there, and they will still come with the best candidate. So it's just to make sure that we harmonize the dispensation. Section 1747 of the Constitution says that all judicial officers must be appointed in terms of national legislation, but obviously the principles of Section 174 apply in terms of representativity, in terms of fit and proper, etc. So Section 1747 amplified that. That's why we suggest that we amend, we harmonize the national legislation with the entire Constitution in terms of that. Coming to the question by Honorable Mr. Subanyun, yes, we have engaged in an extensive public awareness strategy for this court. Firstly, it's the newspaper articles which we published, and secondly, we engaged with all the radios in terms of their different regions, regional languages, where we assigned people to go and explain to people what the intended amendment is and where those courts are. The important thing is that we have introduced new courts, and people must know where those courts are, and secondly, they must know what are the jurisdictions of those courts. If you stay in Kalinden, you must know which court you must go to, or which attorney you must go to, or which sheriff you must go to, etc. And that's the purpose. What we have also done, and which will we have developed posters that we are going to laminate and put at the entry of every court building and every building of Home Affairs and every other government building, so that people know where these courts are, whatever, etc. These are new 62 courts, going to take time for people to understand where they are, etc. So we put different kinds of media communication strategies that we'll put in place, and we hope that the message will get down to all the people in terms of where to access this course. Thank you.
Okay. Chair, I can respond to that. Thank you. There are organizations that do training for people who serve documents in terms of this section. Furthermore, the public bodies who appoint these people might be in a position to have come across irregularities that they wish to have addressed, as well as perhaps magistrates. Any person who has had contact with persons appointed in terms of this section might have a valuable input when we advise the minister on a determination of these aspects that will be addressed. So there might be several role players, and we will consult with them. Does that make sense?
Committee is happy with the briefing. We'll remain mulling over this, and I'm sure there'll be a second bite. Thank you very much.
Did you? The process question really, I suppose, yeah. While the official is here. We understand that the bill, you are wanting the bill as soon as possible. Maybe you could just give us some more input on that. When and why, through your chair.
Yes, thanks, Honourable Jeffrey. We've said that the 62 courts started operating from the 10th of August. And we have created 25 pools to capacity the regional courts through those methods. As a result of that intervention, many cases are going to fall off from the high court, the regional court. There's no doubt. The high court roles are loaded by divorce matters, by RAF matters. It takes 4 to 5 years to get a simple RAF matter of 250,000 resolved the high court because of number of problems. The roles, the courts are few, they sit far apart, or they deal with appeals from the regional, from the lower courts, whatever. Now, already attorneys and everybody are already taking their matters to the regional court. In fact, most people have been coming and said, look, is there an opportunity of us stopping our proceedings at the high court so we can come to the regional court? In terms of speed, et cetera, we said no. This is very clear. We have made all the administrative comments must be finalized at the high court. We only deal with matters we started from the 9th of August moving forward. Now, the importance of the agency of this matter is that we have to create capacity at those courts with mass speed. We have to increase the number of magistrates, which we are going to do over time. But it does not have to create posts when you know that there's only a pool to appoint them. There's no pool for those 25. What we do now, we do them on activity. It's easier for you to get an attorney or an advocate to give you a 2-month acting appointment than apply. When we advertise those posts for permanent filling, we must make sure that we are going to draw sufficient pool from that arrangement. Hence, we have said that we would appreciate if this bill becomes a reality before, so that by the end of the financial year, next year, we are able to advertise and build them and recruit people permanently to post, etc. The other aspect which is very important, if you can look at that advertisement, we have linked a number of magistrate districts into one seat. For example, Cape Town takes over, in terms of the civil court in Cape Town will deal with matters from Athlone, Belleville, Wynberg, for example, which means the magistrates which are appointed here are going to have to travel those areas on a day-to-day basis, and which may even come and cause a huge impact on the fiscal. So we hope that by the time we advertise them, we are going to appoint the magistrates there. So we won't have all the pool of 25 magistrates centralized in Cape Town and send them to Wynberg when there's a matter. We must advertise for pools in Wynberg so that in terms of organizational efficiency, budget, cost, whatever, those are available. So we can only do that once we have made sure that we are going to get a pool from the pool to apply for those pools. That's the agency that we want the committee to look at in terms of access to justice.
Yes, following on, I mean, not then so much to the department. I mean, the bill has been advertised by Parliament for public comment. I think Romano can maybe just remind us when, and I would suggest that once we've had those inputs and seen what the response has been, then determine how we deal with it. But if there isn't much interest, then obviously we could dispense with the bill quite quickly.
Okay, the advert went out last week and the public hearings are scheduled for the 14th of September.
Okay, thank you very much. I think this part of the meeting is closed and we can release those who have to be released. In other words, department. Bon voyage. Travel well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Okay, let's come into the next part of the agenda. Yeah. Briefing on the human rights. We need to adopt the report on the Human Rights Commission. I think it's the matter to do with the Dubai. We make a quarter here. You must count me.
Brian has gone off to look for somebody.
Oh, Brian is looking for somebody.
Well, I'm looking for somebody. Can I tell you what the single piece of grammar is that I've spotted? At point 2.1. He has been employed concurrently in the Premier's office in the provincial administration of the province of the Eastern Cape and surely by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He wasn't employed for them. There was another one. At point 3, I move that we replace the expression first reserve with the word next suitable candidate. And you want me to do formally what I just did in the other one, in the first report at 2.1. In line 2, replace the word for with the word by.
Can we also wait, ask Christine to take us through the number 5, Memon Committee, traditional form. Or will this one? Okay.
the traditional court bill, members will remember that towards the end of last year, we amended the deadline, I think it was the repeal of the Black Administration Act, and the new deadline was 30 December 2010. We thought we were going to be able to pass the Traditional Court Bill into law by 30 December 2010. That is the section, I think it's the section 76, if I remember, I think it's the section 76 bill. And when I look at it, there's no way that given the contentious nature of the bill, I don't think the National Assembly would be, the National Assembly and the NCOP will be in a position to pass this bill into text. So then the proposal that is that, like last year, we should once again amend the act, extend the deadline. And maybe just to be on the safe side, maybe this time around, instead of saying that we extend to next year, 30 December, maybe we should be looking at a year and a half, maybe two years. But then, should the committee agree on that, I think at some point we need to sit down and maybe agree on the steps that we need to take, you know, instead of just, you know, giving us too much time, but, you know, we think without a program, how we're going to, you know, to deal with this thing. So we agree that we will send the deadline, and then if we feel